Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show, and this is the last episode in my GSD Get Shit Done season. I know from chatting to my community that the overwhelm is real right now, so helping you to get organized has been my big focus for this season of the show, and then also obviously as part of my Get Remarkably Organized program. In this last episode, I am thrilled to bring you not one, but two experts, the same experts that will be bringing their guru-ness to my Get Remarkably Organized program. Two experts in one episode is a first for me on the show, so I'm really, really thrilled to do this. And for my 60th episode as well, so special 6-0 birthday as part of this week's episode. The last day for registrations for the program is next Tuesday, 8th of September. So this is officially the last podcast call for you to sign up. There are dozens of women who have already taken that critical first step to dealing with their overwhelm, and they're going to be plonking themselves firmly into the driving seat of their lives under my expert guidance and support. I would love to have you join us too. I have done all the thinking for you, and over 8 weeks, I'll gently guide you through a series of lessons to help you get more organized. It'll be effective, it'll be easy on your time, and it, I promise, will be fun. Jump over to my website to sign up, lorrainemurphy.com.au, and I'll also pop a link in the show notes. Okay, let's talk to my experts. My first expert interview is with the marvelous Rachel Crether. She's a clinical hypnotherapist who will be teaching my group in the program all about how to build new habits. And I just had to have her on the show to share just a little slice of her brilliance and as part of this episode. So in myself and Rachel's chat, she shares the most common challenges her clients come to her with, how to navigate changing our behaviors and how fear of change is totally normal, how repetition is the key to rewiring our brains, and also celebrating wins and how they can accelerate change. I've actually worked with Rachel myself. I had hypnotherapy for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and it has been, I can't even tell you, it's made such a massive difference in the area that I asked her to help me with. So I'm so excited to, first of all, have her on the podcast this week, and also to have her joining my incredible group on the Get Remarkably Organized program. So let's bring on Rachel Crether. So Rachel, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
I am so excited too. Thank you so much for having me.
And we were just saying before we got on this call, I had a session with you yesterday. So it's very strange that you were hypnotizing me yesterday. And then today I'm interviewing you for my podcast. What a weird world we live in.
Super I love cool. it.
So thank you so much for joining. So obviously you're going to be one of our experts on the Get Remarkably Organized program. And I'm so excited for what we've been workshopping together and how you can help people change their habits. But for today, I wanted to have a broader conversation around the context of habits and where they come into the whole piece around helping us to lead the lives that we want to be leading. So with RTT, so you're obviously a clinical hypnotherapist and yes. an RTT therapist. So most of us, I think, will be familiar, all of us will be familiar with the idea of hypnotherapy. Can you just explain mm-hmm. what RTT therapy is?
So RTT, I
needed to learn this with you last week.
So RTT stands for Rapid Transformational Therapy, and it was developed by Marissa Peers over in the UK. And it is a hybrid therapy which incorporates the most effective components of hypnotherapy, NLP, CBT, and psychotherapy. And so what it does, it helps you connect to the subconscious mind to find the root cause of your issue. And then once we understand the root cause, we work out what beliefs are tied in with that. And then we can heal that and start to reverse those beliefs.
Mm. And I'm so glad I got to, because I had RTT with you yesterday. I'm so glad we got to do that session before we did the podcast interview, because I feel like I've lived it, and that's why I was really keen to work with you. Plus, obviously, there was something I was really keen to see, yeah, how you would approach it. And I think it was so interesting for me in the session, because A, I was like, no, I probably can't be hypnotized because my brain's so, you know, constantly on the go. And you had me under within seconds. It was really amazing. It's almost like I want to understand, you know, like when you watch a magic trick, you want to understand how it works. It was really cool. And then when you were asking me, so we explored three different reasons that I might have a certain belief about myself. And it was just amazing what bubbled up. I know one of the experiences that came up for me was when I was 8. Another one was when I was 22. And another one was when I was 34. And it was almost just my subconscious just served them up on a platter. And they were there then to be seen and to be healed. So yeah, it's really phenomenal what you do.
It's often really surprising for people, the things that come up, because our conscious mind will already have ideas of what we think the root cause might be. And quite often it's surprising for people.
I was really surprised at what came up yesterday, for sure. But then, you know, it's interesting then, because when I was under, that's what you say, I was like, I knew what was going on. I knew where I was. I could move my body. I was very present. And what was very interesting is when the things came up, it was almost then my conscious mind could go, but that's the why, like to almost like rationalize it. So it's almost like you've got your subconscious and your conscious mind working together, and you can experience that firsthand.
Yes. And I think I always like to describe it to people like the layers of the ocean, and the top of the choppy ocean is our conscious mind and all the, you know, ongoing thoughts of I need to write back to that email and I still haven't bought anything for dinner, blah, blah, blah. And then when we dive down in hypnosis or meditation, we're accessing that deep, still part of the ocean. And a lot of people say to me, oh, I can't meditate, or I won't be able to be hypnotized, because they think they have this perception that they're down there the entire time. But actually, when you're in hypnosis or meditation, you're accessing the subconscious, but your conscious mind is free to float in and out as well. So that you can actually unpack that. When the memory comes up, we just talk about it. You know, we're just having a discussion about that memory and what belief might have been established there, so that we can start to rewire that programming.
Yeah. Oh, it's mind blowing. I think I said to you yesterday, I was like, I want to be able to do this with my mentees. This is cool.
Yeah.
So Rachel, I came to you with quite a specific thing that I wanted to work through yesterday with you. What are the kind of examples of what people will come to you with? Because I think, like, if I think about what the main reason I would have known or just been aware of people going for hypnotherapy would be probably to quit smoking. I think there was a big buzz about 10 years ago that people were going to have hypnotherapy to stop smoking. What are the real, like, what are the biggest things that you see people coming to you with?
I think the most common thing I see, and I don't know if this is just me, but the most common thing I see at the moment is emotional eating and binge eating. I get a lot of food-related clients. Relationship blocks, money blocks, also been attracting in a lot of people for soul purpose discovery recently too, which is amazing. I love working with the soul purpose stuff as well. Wow. So it's anything you have a question that's circulating in your mind on why you might do a certain thing or why you might self-sabotage in a certain way, that's where it becomes really powerful, because you're understanding the why, and then we're reprogramming that as well with a recording that you take home with you. So I do a personalized recording for each client, and then they go home and listen to that along with some conscious mind homework too, because there's something about marrying the subconscious reprogramming with real life action that I just feel makes permanent change for my clients.
Yeah, and it's building new habits. You know, I know we'll be talking about that a lot more in the actual program together, but it's finding the root cause of why we are finding it difficult to create those positive habits. You know, for example, in the binge eating example, like what building the habit of, we can start a bar of chocolate but not finish it, maybe, for example. I mean, I'm not across the conversations you have with your clients. So it's about, proving to ourselves that we can change our habits and that those habits can be lasting, those new positive habits can be lasting. Yeah. I think that's fascinating. So do you find, because I know for most of us, I know I was nervous before going into the session yesterday, just going, God, what's this going to be like? AJ, my Make It Happen manager, was like, just don't let her turn you into a chicken, you know? perception.
The thing is, though, you're in control the entire time.
Exactly. Yes.
You don't have to tell me anything. And I always tell my clients that too. You actually don't have to share the memories that pop up to me if you don't want to. All I need to know is, How old are you? And what belief did you establish there? Because that's the gold for me. The gold for you is to have your own awareness. Mm. I believe everyone already has all the answers inside of them. Sometimes I just help them turn the key to unlock the door, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally yeah. Get you. And I think the thing is, isn't it, whenever we try anything new, we're like, there's a level of fear there, and obviously that level yes. increases or decreases. You know, it's going to be proportionate to whatever the thing is. So mm-hmm. I was definitely, I'm not afraid, but I was apprehensive before yesterday because I'd never been hypnotized before. So what would you say to people who are afraid? The other thing I wanted to add to that as well is, and it's that whole thing of if we are going to create a new habit or try a new thing, whether it's, you know, learning a new skill or going for the job or going to a social gathering on our own that we wouldn't normally go to on our own. So there's always going to be fear attached with trying new things.
Always.
What do you say to people? Because I know you've got so many amazing thoughts around, like, how can we dismantle that fear and get over it to stop it from holding us back? Because I think most of us acknowledge that if we weren't so afraid of XYZ, we would probably, you know, we would go ahead and do that thing, whatever that thing is. And we know that on the other side of it, we'll enjoy it and it'll be good for us. But it's almost like that fear sometimes can be so overwhelming and yes. obstructive that we can't get through the fear. So do you have any thoughts on how we could help people navigate that?
Yeah, I think firstly, it's also about, you know, knowing and acknowledging the fact that there's always discomfort when we're creating change. There's always going to be some fear, because the way the mind works is it just wants us to stay in what's familiar.
Yes.
Even when we rationally know that all the gold is on the other side, or we rationally know if we change these habits, it will feel amazing for us. There's this, the mind just keeps pulling us back to what it believes is safety. And so a lot of what I do with people is start to prep their minds for the unfamiliar. And we start to do that with the personalized recording, but then with real life action as well. So what happens when we decide that we want to create a change in our lives? It starts to feel like we have one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. We have this resistance.
Oh, between... I love that example. It's so true. Yeah. Because you know that it's good for you and it's positive and you'll be happier, stronger, smarter on the other side. But the old you is that whole idea of resistance. I talk about it a lot in Create Academy. Stephen Pressfield, who's an author I love, and talks
I
about
love.
You do, yes. Isn't he so good? So Do the Work is like my, yeah, it's one of my Bibles. I love that book. I've gotten so many people into it. So it's that idea of, before we change something in our lives, whether it's, you know, signing up for a program or going to for the new job or going on the date with the new guy or girl, it's that whole thing of, that's when our resistance is at its highest, because mm-hmm. that's when our mind is, like you say, it's the mind is like, no, I need to keep you safe. We cannot do anything new. That's, you know, danger ahead type thing. So mm-hmm. I love that you're saying that, because that's exactly how it feels. It's like, on one side, we're like, yeah, go, let's do this. But on the other side, we're freaking out and holding ourselves back. So, and I just want to touch in there as well on what you're saying, Rachel, is like, this is all completely normal. I think
normal.
We make this assumption that other people don't have these fears. Mm-hmm. And I love to be really open with, in my work, that I get that sense of self-doubt all the time. But I think the key thing is that we have some strategies to overcome it rather than letting it dominate us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, first of all, accepting that it's normal is perfect. And yeah, I just had to jump in. I love how you've described that. The thought of the break is exactly it.
And so when we are rewiring the mind, I always like to describe it to my clients like a bush track to the beach. You know, that well-worn path
yes.
that feels safe, familiar. We've just, even if it's unhealthy for us, it's just what we're familiar with. So we keep walking down that path, even though we can see glimpses of the water that might be in a faster direction the other way. And so what I also like to explain to my clients is to be patient with yourself and be really kind to yourself, because when we're creating that new bush track, you know, you're going to expect that you're going to have wobbles. So, you know, you might trip over a log or have to move a branch out of the way,
yes.
but it's that, you know, you've got to keep on pulling yourself up and keep on trying the next day.
Yeah.
Because the mind works with repetition and that's how we start to create new neural pathways. The other thing that I like to say to my clients is, we don't celebrate ourselves for the wins, but we really shame and guilt ourselves when we do have those wobbles. And so there's something about tying emotion to the shame and guilt, or tying emotion to celebrating yourself that really starts to accelerate change as well. So, yes. You know, and I also give the example to my clients because I'm quite visual and I love having, you know, visual descriptions of people. It's like when a toddler is learning to walk or toilet train, it's not like you go, oh my God, I can't believe you had an accident and really make a big deal about it. You actually don't make a big deal about the wobbles, but you really celebrate the wins.
Yeah, and sticker charts, high fives, everything.
Yes, exactly. So
as I'm talking about in toilet training, toddlers, yeah.
So, yeah, so it's tying positive emotion to celebrate yourself when you do take some action in the direction you want to go.
It's so true. And I'm just thinking as you're talking about that, like, can you imagine if it would be so demotivating for us to go and reach that target, you know, whether it's getting more organized or getting the new job or going on the date or whatever it might be. It would be so demotivating every time we take a step forward that we then berate ourselves for everything that we haven't done so well on the path. Mm-hmm. So why would we be motivated to actually change our behaviors if everything we're doing on the way to that is just us being horrible to ourselves? Mm-hmm. It's almost like there's no incentive really, is there? So I love that you said that idea, but you've touched on that idea of being gentle to ourselves, because it's gentle encouragement for ourselves and being our own cheerleader, which then means that we're 10 times more likely to actually get to the destination we're aiming to get to.
Definitely. And it takes practice. It takes us actually starting to integrate that into our lives to start to create the change, because 80% of our thoughts are negative. You've probably read this somewhere before.
But I have, but thank you for reminding us.
Yeah, 95% of our thoughts are repeated from the day before. So it's actually really natural for us to have those negative thoughts about ourselves. So, you know, it's really retraining the mind to start to take even 10% of those negative thoughts about the actions that we're taking or the habits that we have and start to lean into positive reinforcement for ourselves.
Yeah, love that. It's almost like it's like a mindset handbook for ourselves, isn't it? It's like a user manual to ourselves. I love that. Yeah. So for people who are sitting there, so, I mean, I would imagine that when people pick up the phone and say, or email you and say, okay, I want to work with you, like, they're pretty motivated, they're committed to changing whatever it is that they want to change in their life or reaching that next level that they want to get to in their life. And I think a lot of people struggle with just that lack of motivation. And, you know, I experience this right now. I'm between gyms and, you know, do you think I can find the motivation to go and research the gym, sign up, figure out what I need to do, get there? You know, it's on the list for today. It has to happen. So I know a lot of us will get that. I mean, all of us, I think at one time or another, will feel that sense of like, oh, I call it the CBF index, like the can't be fucked index. I talk about it a lot. Like, if I'm just tired at the end of the day, I'm zoned away. Like, I see like CBF, like the CBF index is high. I just can't, like, do I really, you know, I just don't want to cook dinner, get like see the bath. It's almost like, can we just outsource that tonight? Like, can I just not handle tonight, that feeling? So when the CBF index is really low and people are just like, I just cannot find it in me to get motivated, even if it's, you know, the tiny things, like one of my black holes is if I get on the sofa and I haven't taken my makeup off before I like chill at the end of the evening.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting there at like 9 o'clock and I know I need to get up and wash my face, which takes all of flipping 5 minutes. But for some reason, it seems like a Herculean task at that time of the evening. So then I'll just scroll Instagram for a little bit longer or, you know, just mess around doing something else. So whether it's the really small things like getting motivated just to get off the sofa and get ourselves to bed, or if it's the really big things, like I'm really not enjoying my job, I need to have a conversation with my boss about it and booking in that time with them. Do you have any idea, any tips for people on what they can do to get that, you know, that initial burst of motivation?
Yes.
Because the thing is, once we're motivated and once I'm off the sofa and I'm walking towards the bathroom, that's not the problem. The problem is just getting started. So do you have any ideas on that?
Yes, I love future pacing. So in hypnotherapy at different times as well, depending on the client and the situation, I will take them to a future scene as well where they get to really see what that feels like and looks like so they can start to lean in towards that energy. But you can do that in everyday life too. If you're laying in bed at night, you can start to future pace the next morning. You can start to think about what that might feel like to get up in the morning to go for a walk. I've been doing it at the moment to go for a walk. Mm-hmm. And so before I go to sleep, I think, you know, if I get up at 6:15, then I'll see the sunrise and I'll start to think about how that would feel to actually see the sunrise and then how that would feel when I get back into the house and the energy that I'll have for the day. So you start to tying that positive emotion to having completed the task so that you can start to move towards that energy. Because if you're sitting on the lounge and you're tying all this negative emotion to, oh my God, I just need to get up and I'm going to wash my face and
it's
negative. It's, yeah. You know, instead of just thinking, moving straight to what it will feel like to have done the task.
Mm.
And it's such a simple, quick mental shift to start programming yourself to be thinking about what it feels like to complete. Even, I mean, I get it with, if I know that the next morning's going to be busy, I think, oh, I should go and lay out my clothes for the day, you know, the next day.
Mm.
And instead of kind of thinking, oh, I need to get off the lounge and go and choose my clothes for the next day and that kind of negative energy, what I do is then I think about how amazing that would feel the next morning to just be organized, how amazing that would feel the next morning to feel good in what I'm wearing and not be thinking about it and rushing out the door.
Yeah, love that. And you're so right. It's what you were talking there earlier about celebrating the wins with positive emotions. It's doing that in advance. It's almost like you celebrate the win and then you're more likely to actually get off your ass and start it and then you get the win at the other end. So it's like a double payback. I love that.
Yeah.
Amazing. So we're going to be talking a lot about how to create new habits in the program together. I'm really excited for that session. Is there anything else you wanted to share as part of this episode, though, before we wrap up this chat?
All I would like to say is just small wins. If you can create some small wins first thing in the morning, you'll be able to get some momentum across the day. So try and allow yourself, even if it's just 5 minutes or 10 minutes each morning where you can give yourself some small wins, like you've made the bed or you've had a full glass of water, just some really small, simple wins that you know takes more than 5 minutes. It will just help set you up for the day ahead and you'll be able to build on that momentum.
Yeah, I love that. It's so in line with the Get Remarkably Organized ethos as well. And I always say to people as well is that small, sustainable steps taken every day, any day they're going to trump the major life overhauls. You know, when someone says, okay, that's it, I'm going to start drinking green smoothies, start yoga, start meditating, going to bed 3 hours earlier, getting up, you know, there's so much there that it's like, well, of course it's not going to be sustainable because you're literally trying to bite off way too much, maybe way more than you can chew. So I love that small wins philosophy. And I think also let's just set that philosophy to the backdrop of the bloody crazy year that we're living in right now in 2020. I mean, I just don't think there's any alternative. I think if you're trying to do more than those small wins, I think you're really carving out a very difficult path for yourself, I think.
Yes. And then in the program, I'm also going to be teaching you how to access your own inner knowing when it comes to self-sabotage patterns. So obviously I dive really deep with clients and I'm working with them one-on-one by hypnosis, but I'm going to be sharing some great journaling prompts as well so that you can start to tap into that yourself.
Amazing. I love that. And you know what I love about this as well is I've also been through, you know, I've survived. That sounds terrible. I've experienced working with you. And what I'm loving is that, you know, I've been through that full experience, but I'm loving what you're sharing. It's almost people's way of taking a bit of that into their at-home practice almost and how they can start to implement that themselves. Amazing. Thank you so much for joining me. And yeah, that was just
thank you.
Short but sweet episode is so packed with gold and I cannot wait to see the transformation that you're going to create for everyone on the program. I think they're in for a massive treat. So we're very lucky to have you. Thank you for being part of it all.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. How great is Rachel? I cannot wait to see the magic she brings to my program from next week. Our next expert is declutter coach and life organizer, Bridget Johns. Bridget's also a mentee of mine. She's in my LM Love Club. And she's just a standout woman. I love spending time with her. She's such a woman for other women. And I'm amazed at how quickly she has made her business Be Simply Free a reality. She's doing incredible work. So in myself and Bridget's chat, we cover her inside track on storage hacks, her genius strategy for dealing with laundry overwhelm. And Lord knows I experience this one myself very regularly. How to shift yourself out of clutter overwhelm, staying on track with decluttering, and also importantly, how to organize our homes in a sustainable way. So here comes expert number two, Bridget Johns. So I'm very excited to introduce Bridget Johns, who is a declutter coach and life organizer. She's also a mentee of mine. She's a member of the LM Love Club, and I'm absolutely thrilled that she is joining me as a resident expert on my Get Remarkably Organized program. So welcome to the show, Bridget. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited to be here too.
And I think you, if I had like an alternate job or business, I think it would be doing exactly what you're doing. You do. I just think it must be such fascinating work, is it?
Yeah, it's amazing to dive deep into people's homes and see what suits them, because everyone's different. It's not about having the same home. It's finding something that suits everyone's personal style.
Yeah, for sure. And can you tell me a little bit about, like, why did you get into this line of work? What attracted you to it?
Well, I've been working in a business and community project management for 16 years, and this is sort of a natural progression to use those skills in a different way. So basically, I'm helping women to project manage their homes and lives. So use all the skills you use in business, but just to help women to think a little bit differently about their homes and spaces and how they're using their time. We can get a bit too caught up in thinking we need to do all the things, but we need to stop, focus, and notice and work out what's truly important to us and what things we need in our homes and what things we need in our calendars. If we don't need them, let's let them go and declutter them.
Yeah, love it. What did you just say? Stop?
Stop, focus, notice. Stop doing the same thing over and over again. Get off that hamster wheel of life and work out what you want your life to look like.
Love that. I feel like that's like a t-shirt slogan, isn't it? Like it just has to be at some stage.
my clients have that stuck in their head. Stop, focus, and notice.
Love it. Oh, that's a life mantra for life generally. That's so
good. Yeah, you can use it in any context. It's amazing.
Yeah. So with the clients that you work with, Bridget, what are the, and also for you personally, maybe, what are the biggest areas that you have seen people struggle with in the past with their homes, obviously until they get you on board and you work your magic with it?
Well, there can be a lot of overwhelm, and all areas of the home can feel overwhelming, but particular pain points in homes or hiding places for when friends come to visit.
That's such a good way of putting it. Yes.
Can be those spare bedrooms, the ones that don't get used very often, or that wardrobe in that spare room. When you've got kids, sometimes the master bedroom becomes the dumping zone because no one really goes in there when they visit you. But also with families, that garage or that back shed, again, where your visitors don't tend to go, can be that dumping spot where when life is too hectic, when things are scattered all over the home, you grab them and just put them out of sight and out of mind. And sometimes we sort of forget about them, and it can continue to be a spot that keeps getting added to and added to. I know when I first started, my washing was a pain point, and I'd end up with 5 loads of clean washing laying on the spare bed because no one would ever come in there. And then it almost turns into a clean, not a floor wardrobe, it becomes the spare room wardrobe. So working out systems that suit your pain points, and stop doing that same thing, focus on what the problem is and notice what the solutions can be for you and your situation.
Love it. So on the laundry one, because that's definitely been a pain point in our house. We go through phases. As we're recording this, I'm having a massive business week, and so is Wade, my husband. So yeah, the laundry one, there was some folded laundry sitting on the end of the dining table for 2 days. I hate to admit it to you. Can you give us an example? Like, what is a strategy that you advise your clients to use or that you use yourself to deal with that laundry? Because it's just bloody never ending.
Yeah, well, the first thing to do is look at how many clothes you have. If you've got so many clothes, it's much easier to keep wearing clothes over and over again and having those 5 loads of washing that you have sitting there to wash and wash and dry and fold and put away, and then still a whole wardrobe in the cupboard that you can still access. So when you cut down to a minimalist wardrobe that everything mixes and matches, so you've still got hundreds of outfits, you can reduce the amount of stuff you have to wash. And then for us, what we do is we have everything on coat hangers. So when it comes out of the washing machine, it goes straight onto a coat hanger, just shake it off. I'm a minimalist. I do not enjoy ironing. So the less ironing, the better. And hang it straight on a rack that can be hung inside. Or we've got little clips for our washing line that the coat hanger can hang on a peg outside to dry. And then it's just put back onto we've got a little 2-level rack that we can walk around the house. So It's all the clothes just go straight from the hanger into the wardrobe. So if it does get caught in that middle land of not being put away, it's just sitting on a rack that can be wheeled around. And hopefully that just encourages people to, if they see the rack, take their stuff to the bedroom.
That is so cool. I love that. So you're talking like t-shirts, everything is on hangers.
Everything. So we have an 8-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter. So obviously bar pajamas, underwear, and activewear.
They're the three things. That is freaking genius.
Yeah. So that can be an issue. Some people don't have the hanging room. But again, once you've decluttered your spaces and your clothes, you might find you actually have enough space for the clothes you really need.
Yeah, it's so true, because I'm a big believer in decluttering my wardrobe. And I think this ISO life has thrown me into kind of confusion. And yep. I also hate ironing. Wade loves ironing. I think it's the ex-military in him. I absolutely hate it. And those shirts, I probably got 6 shirts in my wardrobe and I keep keeping them because I keep going, oh, one day I might like discover that I love ironing. And I swear there's some, actually there's one shirt, I brought it to Brisbane on a business trip recently. And I was so proud of myself. I ironed the shirt in my hotel room the night before my meeting. And as it happened, I actually put the shirt on the next morning and realized there was actually a hole in it that I hadn't.
It's, oh, no. It's
so long since I've worn it. I was wearing a sweater over it anyway. In the end, I didn't even take the sweater off, which I was so pissed off about after taking, like, finally actually ironing something for the first time in months. And so I think that's a really, really good point as well, is that when we offload, and also having this thought, almost orientating our wardrobe around what our laundry capacity is. Like if you are someone yeah. like me who absolutely hates ironing, well, why have I got 5 perfectly good shirts sitting in the wardrobe that I never, ever wear? Why don't I just recirculate them to Vinnie's or to friends yeah. who might like them and clear up that space for stuff that I do want to wear that's more realistic for my lazy lifestyle when it comes to ironing?
Yeah, a perfect example of the stop, focus, notice. If you don't like, you've noticed you don't like ironing, so what can you change? And yeah, change your wardrobe. The next time you go out shopping, look for those things that don't need the ironing or need yeah. minimal ironing.
Love it. Yes, because that's the thing, isn't it? I think so, and I know I see this a lot with my mentoring, with the programs and the one-on-one mentoring, the Love Club and so on. I think we kind of think that one day we'll be the kind of person that will do that. And it's almost just creating another stick to beat ourselves with. Like, why not just accept that I'm not yeah. an ironer and just build my wardrobe around that? I mean, that's so liberating. Yeah. Even as I say that. Love it. So that's really, really helpful in terms of those biggest areas that people are struggling with. So when you do go start working with a client and they're just, you know, at that completely overwhelmed point. And I know as part of the Get Remarkably Organized program, we have a whole week, which is about, you know, offloading the stuff, inverted commas. I know you talk about that yep. as well. The overwhelming stuff that we have around us. And I'm really excited to have you in the program because I know that the decluttering aspect is one of the biggest challenges. When I run workshops or I've run a similar program to this in the past, like the decluttering is the bit that really derails people.
Yeah. So
what do you do when someone is just in that state of total overwhelm and, you know, there's people who tell yeah. you that they can't even see the path to their bed, that there's just so much crap yeah. on the floor. You know, how do you coach them through that? Because that's a really scary place to be for those people when they just literally cannot see a way out of the clutter. What do you do? What do you advise yeah. them to do?
Yeah, so it's about looking at that vision. How do you want it can be down to the room level or for the whole home. How do you want the room or the home to function and feel? So a year from now, you'd wish you started today. So let's start today.
Oh, love that. Just repeat that again.
A year from now, you'll wish you started today.
Love it. Thank you. And that's so applicable to every life area, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's a lot of my social media posts about just starting. It can just feel too overwhelming to need to do a week worth of decluttering. So let's take small steps to plan decluttering into every day. That can still seem overwhelming, but I even break it down to let's spend 1% of your day decluttering, and that's 14.4 minutes. So let's say 15 minutes. So let's put 15 minutes of your day to decluttering. And it's just about starting. So just start and over time. So if you do 15 minutes a day for a week, it's 1 hour 45 for the week. If you do it for a month, it's 7.5 hours. So a full working day worth of decluttering if you start today and do 15 minutes. So from the yeah. time you get up, let's just find a 15-minute block before you go to bed at night. And a good place to start to find that 15 minutes is the screen time feature on your
yes.
iPhone.
Yes,
Go have a look in there and see how long you are spending on social media, because it is broken down into different productive and media sections. Let's see if we can find 15 minutes, and that's actually broken down per hour as well, so you can see your day broken down over social media.
You can actually see where the black spots are for yourself, can't you?
Yeah. Think of it as a reward. So let's do 15 minutes of decluttering before you grab the social media or before you turn the Netflix show on before bed. So something you don't want to do, team it up with something you do want to do.
Oh, love that. That's so smart. And I really like that because you're actually part of my GSD challenge. As we're recording this, it was the week before last. And I thought it was so interesting. So day one of the GSD challenge was the home. And my challenge to people was to spend just 20 minutes clearing an area. Yeah. And people sent me before and after photos, and like people set the timer on their phones. And I mean, the overwhelming sentiment that came back from people was just, I just had no idea 20 minutes could be so powerful. Yeah. People, I know one woman said, she cleared her kitchen bench. That was her spot, her kind of problem spot that she was going to deal with. And then she went and did her office as well. And she did both in 20 minutes, just 10 minutes in one and 10 minutes in the other. And it was just, I mean, the difference was astonishing. So I really think you're onto something with that 1% rule. I really love that. So thank you for sharing.
And we talk about mental clutter as well. How long do we spend thinking about that cluttered bench or that cluttered office? Like we would have spent that, I did as well. Like I've spent a lot more time procrastinating over something or thinking about it than it actually takes to do. And afterwards you're like, oh, why did I wait so long to do it? So, and once you've started that 15 minutes, sometimes it just flows on. So I like to chuck on Spotify, race my timer just to push a bit more stuff through during that time, pop a podcast on, one of yours. I always listen to on the Friday morning. So make it a bit more fun. And if you can get that 15 minutes done, you've ticked it off on your to-do list. But if you can go even further, that's even better. And as you said, those before and after photos are really good. Mm. We can feel like a room is so overwhelming and there's no chance we're going to be able to make a difference. But take those before and after photos just for yourself. You don't have to share them anywhere else. But when it feels overwhelming, you can look back in your phone and see how far you've come, and you can think about that year from now. What do you want your home and life to feel like?
That's so good. I'm such a nerd or a dickhead, either or. When I clear a space, I like to like walk out of the room and walk back in and almost pretend I haven't cleared it and go, wow, this is amazing.
Yes,
I do it several times. It's really sad. I can't believe I've admitted to that. But it's just so satisfying when you clear an area and you just, and even actually yesterday, it's funny that I'm working on GSD and you know, getting organized at the moment. That's my big focus in the business. And even this week, because it's been such a full-on week, I've had all these packages arriving and I haven't been unpacking. They've just been piling up behind me in the office. And then when I have a Zoom session, I like move them over to the sofa and then I move them back when I can't get out the door. And finally, yesterday, I just sat down. It was my day with Lexi yesterday. And I just sat down and just spent 20 minutes. She loved it. Like she loves playing with the scissors, safely, obviously. Yeah. She like cut open all the boxes and we got them out. And it just felt so good just to walk into the office this morning. It was clear. And it only took 20 minutes. That was it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just about just starting. And yeah, how do you want to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's so overwhelming. And progress over perfection. A lot of times you'll find it's your perfectionism or the feeling that it's not worth starting because it's not going to be perfect that stops you. So progress over perfection. Pop it on a post-it note, pop it on the back of your door or somewhere where you're going to see, you can see every day, or even pop it as your screensaver on your phone. So we look at that enough times in the day, remind yourself progress over perfection.
Yeah. Love. That's one of my favorite quotes as well. I love that. And so can I talk to you for a second about storage? So myself and Wade have been I think we've lived in like 8 different houses together at this point, which is just insane. And we've gone through having shitloads of storage to having absolutely none. So our house right now has very little storage in it. And so we've been trying to get creative, obviously offloading as much stuff as we can. But at the end of the day, the stuff that you want to keep, like we've got Lex's baby clothes, for like her clothes up until what age is she now? 3. So there's stuff like that you want to keep. You want to keep your Christmas decorations, for example. So I know you're a fellow fan of Marie Kondo's Life Changing Magic of Tidying Up, which I also reference in the Get Remarkably Organized program. We talk about decluttering. And I know she talks about that lovely strategy of a place for everything and everything in its place, which I just think is so gold. What are your thoughts? I know she says she's kind of anti getting storage solutions because she said it just encourages us to hold on to even more stuff. What's your take on storage? Like how much should we have? When should we be looking at it? Do you have any ideas on that for us? Because I know it's one that myself and Wade are constantly trying to figure out, particularly in this house we're in right now.
Yeah. And as a professional organizer, the term organizing is in there, but the most important thing is to do the decluttering first. We don't want to be organizing things we don't need. So it's doing that thoughtful, ruthless cull of what we actually need. So even with kids' clothes, have a think about how many we really need to keep. So we've talked about wardrobe earlier on in this session. Do we need to keep as many of our children's older clothes than that we have? How often are you washing? Do we need, can we halve the amount we're storing in that? And then if we are going to keep things, I'm a real advocate for repurposing or reusing something in a different way. I see a lot of things going to landfill as a professional organizer, and I would much prefer people to repurpose something a different way to use as storage. So if you're thinking around Marie Kondo's method of having little containers or compartments in drawers, can you use a shoebox? Can you use your Tupperware that you've no longer got a matching lid for? Can you pop that in a kitchen drawer to put the little knickknacks in? I don't want you to go out to some of those places and get the beautiful matching things if we can find a cheaper, free version already. And, yeah, have a look at some op shops as well. So some little examples.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, little examples of things we've used in a different way. The Makona coffee jars in the pantry for storing our dry goods.
Everyone's got those.
And you can actually normally find a few in the op shops if you need a couple more. We've used some of those small platter serving bowls, so bowls that on a in your kitchen. I blue tack them into my drawers in the bathroom. So all my bobby pins for my six-year-old daughter and myself and our hair ties are sitting in little containers in the drawer, but they've got blue tack on them so they don't move around.
That's so good. And Bridget, sorry, can you just explain what you mean when you say those platter trays?
So just if you think about the size of a little dip container, so
yes.
I've got white serving bowls that I've transferred the dip into. Yeah, so something like that. So looking, stop, focus and notice in your kitchen, have you got too many little platter containers? Could you reuse them in a different area of the room?
Again, great idea.
For jewelry in your master bedroom as well, or in some drawers there. So,
and it doesn't matter if it looks a bit fugly or not matching, because no one's seeing it anyway. It's only in your drawer. You're only seeing it yourself when you open the drawer or open the shelf as well.
Yeah. And then we've moved my office into our spare bedroom and I needed some more drawers. So we've got a tall boy that is now in the built-in robe section of the hanging space. So I've got extra storage in there rather than building something else in there. So it's trying to think a bit differently. And even we've got some excess whiskey glasses that store my makeup and our toothbrushes in the bathroom. So really be a bit different. And that works perfectly. They're see-through. We can see everything in there. They actually look quite pretty too. So think a bit differently. And declutter before you organize.
That's gold. Such good advice. Okay, I can honestly talk to you for hours, but we will get way more of your knowledge when you do the expert breakthrough session on the program. Is there anything else you wanted to share with any people that you, if anything you feel we might have missed in this short and sweet chat?
Yeah, just focus that, like, I'm still a lover of things. I'm still, my home is cozy and it's about displaying things that bring you joy. Don't keep them hidden away in a cupboard. If you love them, have them out, use them, make the most of them. Enjoy your spaces.
That's what advice. We've got a tea set that Wade's grandmother gave me before she passed away. And it's really, really beautiful. And I love on a Lexi day sometimes. So Wednesday is Mama Lexi day. I love making us nice. Lexi loves drinking herbal tea with me. And to actually have like a little, I mean, there's no reason for it. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm sitting there in my tracksuit bottoms probably or activewear. And it's such a lovely thing to actually get them out and use them. And I know I always think, I think particularly those things that we've inherited from people, we feel like we need to protect them and keep them safe. But I know for me, if it was me in 80 years' time, I'd love to just look down and see someone enjoying those things that gave me so much joy. So I think that's a really good point as well.
Definitely. Yeah. And just think, we're actually teaching children to respect things as well. Unfortunately, sometimes accidents happen, but watch how they hold it. They will hold it with, so much care. And
she's so careful with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. You're right. And it's modeling that behavior. And I think it's probably, just as we're talking through that, it makes total sense. Like, you want your kids to grow up knowing that there's things that need to be treated that a little bit more carefully, but that they're trusted with that, you know, not that they're not allowed anywhere near it in case they break it. I mean, that's quite a disempowering message almost to send to them, isn't it? Now I think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. Okay. Well, as I said, I could chat to you for hours, but we'll have to save it for the program. But thank you so much for joining me. That was brilliant.
Thank you. I can't wait to chat with everyone in the course.
Me too. Oh my God. I loved having two experts in 1 week. This was so cool. I'm sure you will agree that I have struck gold with these two gurus, Rachel and also Bridget. If you'd like to dive deeper with them, then my Get Remarkably Organized reminder is kicking off next week. So you've got until midnight on Tuesday, the 8th of September to sign up. And I cannot wait to get that started. As I said, this is the last episode of the GSD season. So I'm going to be taking a 2 week break from the podcast to really get everyone in my Get Remarkably Organized program onboarded and also to start to create some fresh inspo about what the next season will look like. I haven't actually decided on the theme yet. I've got a few ideas. So all requests, as always, are very welcome. I love getting requests for episode from you guys because it really it guides me on what it is that you're interested to learn more about. So that is it for this week and also this episode this week and also this season of the podcast. And thank you so much. This is a special moment celebrating 60 episodes. So thank you so much to all of you, particularly those of you who I know tune in every single week and wait for the episode to drop on a Friday morning. You guys are rock stars. And I love having you as part of this podcast community. So I will be back on the 18th of September with a fresh new season to share with you. So until then, I will say goodbye. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.